Thanks for the introduction. And so I'm here today to talk about the Global School-Based Student Health Survey. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so adolescents are typically thought of as a very healthy segment of the population, but health risk behaviors that occur or are established during adolescence are associated with the leading causes of morbidity and mortality among youth and adults worldwide. 2/3 of premature deaths and 1/3 of disease burden globally are associated with conditions or behaviors established during youth. This is particularly important in low and middle income countries where economic development is dependent on having healthy, well-educated adolescents who will be productive as adults. So surveillance data related to health risk behaviors, health outcomes, and protective factors can help countries develop effective adolescent and school health policies and programs. So the purpose of today's presentation is to describe to you the Global School-Based Student Health Survey, which is a mouthful, so I'll just call that the GSHS, to describe the prevalence of behaviors and health outcomes among students aged 13 to 15 by World Health Organization region, and I'll go into a little bit of detail about what those regions are and how they're broken down. And to discuss the implications of the results and future data collection needs. So the GSHS was developed by the WHO, UNICEF, UNESCO, UNAIDS, and CDC. It's a school-based survey conducted primarily among students aged 13 to 15, and the purpose is to provide data on health behaviors and protective factors to help countries develop priorities, establish programs, and advocate for resources, to allow countries and other organizations to make comparisons across countries and to establish trends in the prevalence of health behaviors and protective factors by country. So between 2003 and 2008, the survey was conducted in 56 national or subnational sites in 44 countries. And so we prefer to do national level surveys, but sometimes for different feasibility reasons, it just was not possible to do a national level survey. So a particular region or a city within a country conducted a survey. And so we had sites in each of the 6 WHO regions. Those regions are the African region, where we had 15 sites in 13 different countries, the region of the Americas, where we had 19 sites in 12 countries, the Eastern Mediterranean region, where we had 10 sites in 10 countries, the European region, where we had 2 sites in 2 different countries, the Southeast Asia region, where we had 5 sites in 5 countries, and the Western Pacific region, where we had 5 sites in 2 countries. So here's some maps. I won't read all of the sites, but just so you can see visually what the regions look like and what some of the countries included were. Those are highlighted in yellow. The region of the Americas and a number of the island countries were included there as well. The Eastern Mediterranean region, Southeast Asia region, and the European region. You can see we had just 2 countries, Macedonia and Tajikistan. And the Western Pacific region, we did not have a national level survey in China, but there were 4 sub-national sites, and also the Philippines. Okay, so this the GSHS sampling process, there were 2 stages. The first stage was to select schools that contained grades that the students aged 13 to 15 would usually attend. And then within those grades, we selected classes, and then those classes, the entire class was surveyed. And so at each site, this produced data representative of students in the grades that those aged 13 to 15 would usually attend. And the survey procedures were designed to protect students' privacy, so all questionnaires were anonymous, they were self-administered during 1 regular class period at school, and students recorded their answers directly onto a scannable answer sheet. Okay, so the questionnaire contains 10 modules plus respondent demographics, and those are alcohol use, dietary behaviors, including self-reported height and weight, drug use, hygiene, mental health, physical activity, protective factors, demographics, as I mentioned, sexual behaviors, tobacco use, violence, and unintentional injury. And so each site has their own questionnaire, and the survey coordinator at each site must select at least 6 of the 10 core modules, and then they can also choose to add other questions. We call those core expanded questions. They provide more detail about those core module topics. For example, they might ask about student knowledge, attitudes, or skills related to that topic. They can also add country-specific questions about anything that might be of unique interest or importance to that particular country or survey site. And since the core questionnaire modules are the ones that were used across all sites, that's the data that I'm talking about today are just from those core questionnaire modules. And the last note about the surveys is that the questionnaires were given in local languages. We translated them from their original language into the local language and then back to ensure accuracy of meaning. Okay. So the data were weighted to provide representative prevalence estimates. The Cayman Islands survey data was not weighted since they did a census sample, but it's also representative for that reason. We restricted the analysis to students aged 13 to 15. So as I mentioned, we selected grades that students aged 13 to 15 usually attend. So there may be younger or older students in those grades, but to maximize the comparability across sites, we limited the analysis to just those aged 13 to 15. And then so within the different regions, in the African region, region of the Americas, the European region, and the Southeast Asia region, we reported a regional median and range for students overall and among males and females if at least half of the sites in the region had data for that particular variable. So they might not have data if the the question was not included on their survey or if there was a low response rate to a particular question. And then in the European region and Western Pacific region, as you saw, those regions only had two countries represented, and so we didn't feel median. Well, you can't calculate a median, but we just we don't report any measures of central tendency since those are not representative of the region as a whole. Okay, so looking at some of the results, here we see physical activity. This shows the percentage of students who are physically active for 60 minutes on five or more days during the 7 days before the survey. So here you have the sites with the five sites with the highest prevalence and five sites with the lowest prevalence. And so as you can see, though, there's really a need to increase physical activity worldwide. There were only five sites where the prevalence even exceeded 30%. And as you can see, the prevalence was quite low at those bottom five sites. And then turning to sedentary behaviors, this slide shows the prevalence of doing sitting activities for three or more hours per day. So this was watching TV, playing computer games, anything students might do sitting when they're not in school or doing homework. And so here you can see that the prevalence is over 50% at a number of sites, including four of the top five are in the region of the Americas. And even if you look at the bottom five, you can see all but two sites in our entire survey had a prevalence of greater than 20%. So this complements the data on the previous slide showing the need to increase physical activity and decrease the sedentary behaviors among students globally. Okay, and so now looking at cigarette use, this slide shows the median prevalence in each of these regions. And so this looks at the percentage of students who tried a cigarette for the first time before they were 14 years old among those who had ever tried cigarettes. So as you can see, the median prevalence is very high and consistent across all of these regions, and among all survey sites, the prevalence exceeded 60%, so that was interesting. Okay, and this slide's a little bit busy, but I'll take you through it. So this slide shows the median and range and the percentage of students who currently drink alcohol or who were ever really drunk. So if you look at the left-hand side of the slide, this shows current alcohol use, and there you see the median among sites in the African region, region of the Americas, and sites in the Southeast Asia region. And current alcohol use was defined as having had at least one drink containing alcohol during the past 30 days, and this does not include sips of wine for religious purposes. So as you can see, the median in the African region was 17.9%, and the region of the Americas was 41.1%, and the Southeast Asia region was only 2.6%. So here you see that there is some variation across regions. And also of note, though, there was variation within these regions. So within the African region, the prevalence varied from 3.2% all the way up to 61.6%. So we're seeing some variation across the regions and within regions. And we saw a very similar pattern for the prevalence of ever having been really drunk. So we see the higher prevalence among sites in the African region and the region of the Americas as compared to the Southeast Asia region, and also that within region variability. Okay, and then turning to sexual risk behaviors, here we look at the percentage of students who used a condom the last time they had sex among those who had ever had sex. And so the three countries on the left-hand side are doing pretty well. You can see the prevalence was higher than two-thirds, but these were the only three sites in our survey where the prevalence was greater than two-thirds. So among all other sites, less than two-thirds of students used a condom the last time they had sex. And then here we see among students who had ever had sex, the percentage who did so before age 14. So the median among sites in the African region was 72.8%, and in the region of the Americas was 71.2%. And these were the only two regions where we had enough data to report a median. And for this variable, there's a lot of missing data on questions related to sex, or certain countries didn't include it just because they, for various cultural reasons, perhaps not appropriate to, you know, be asking about sex on a survey in school. But what we did find, though, among all sites who had data for this question, that more than 50% of students who had ever had sex did so before they were 14 years old. Okay, and then turning to injuries. So here we see the median and range of the percentage of students who were seriously injured during the past 12 months, and a serious injury was defined as one that made students miss at least one full day of their usual activities or required treatment by a doctor or a nurse. And so here you can see that the percentage of students in the African region who had had a serious injury in the past 12 months was markedly higher than, say, among students in the region of the Americas. And again, there is some variability within regions, but the African region sticks out here. Okay, so to summarize, we saw a lot of similarities across regions, which was interesting and unexpected to me. I thought we might find that a certain region had with consistently higher prevalence of risk behaviors, that certain countries might stand out, but really what we found was the median for a number of behaviors was consistent across region or across all sites. In particular, we saw that chronic disease risk behaviors were common among all regions. As I showed you the data on physical inactivity and sedentary behaviors, I didn't show any slides on unhealthy diet, but the median percentage of students who ate 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables each day was only between 20% and 30% at all regions. And also, overweight was common in countries of all regions. I think the highest was in Chile. The prevalence was 41.8% of students who were overweight. Tobacco use, of course, has huge health and economic consequences for developing countries, as well as the harmful use of alcohol. We also saw that the early initiation of risk behaviors was very common across sites. I think more than 60% of students who had ever smoked a cigarette did so before age 14, and more than half of students who had ever had sex did so before age 14. This is, again, at all sites that that were surveyed. And so while chronic diseases are becoming a huge focus globally due to the increasing burden, we see that there's still work to do on HIV prevention, as evidenced by the condom use data, which shows there's a lot of room for improvement there, and the early initiation of sexual risk behaviors among adolescents. And then lastly, I think it's worth noting that injuries may be under-addressed, particularly in the African region. And there we also saw a high prevalence of suicide ideation, so injuries and mental health, which typically don't get the attention that HIV and chronic diseases do, are definitely worth devoting some attention to globally. And so the take-home messages are not to say that it's all doom and gloom, but that there are more similarities than differences, and for this reason, it seems to make sense to have concerted global commitment to addressing these risk behaviors among adolescents. And so to give you an example of what that might mean, you may be familiar with the UN Declaration of Commitment on HIV/AIDS that was made in 2001, and this has really increased HIV prevention globally. And through actions like that, you find increased political will, greater international coordination, you can leverage resources, and having this global framework in place enables national and local governments to implement their policies and programs. And it can certainly make a great impact on high-burden public health issues, particularly those that affect economic development. And so in addition to the Declaration of Commitment on HIV/AIDS, there's also the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, and the recent UN Political Declaration on Non-Communicable Diseases that was made at a high-level meeting back in September. But within each of these three, I would say there's room to increase the focus on adolescents who, as I mentioned at the beginning, typically are thought of as very healthy and may not be explicitly mentioned in some of these larger global initiatives. So there's a number of limitations to our data. For example, a number of countries did not have enough sites participating to determine median prevalence estimates. The data are representative only of students. There are a number of countries where there's a high percentage of youth aged 13 to 15 who are not in school. And of course, there are always limitations to self-reported data, and there may be cultural norms that have caused students to under or over-report certain risk behaviors. The survey was conducted at different times within this 5-year period in different countries, so that may limit some of the comparability. And lastly, though we did translate and back-translate, it's always possible that translations introduce bias. There's a lot of work that can be done with the GSHS data, and we certainly want to increase data collection. We want to encourage countries that did not participate, particularly in those with regions where we could not determine median prevalence values. We want to encourage those countries to participate. Countries that conducted sub-national level surveys, we want to encourage them to expand to the national level. And the countries who are already participating, we want them to continue to conduct this survey every 4 to 5 years at least to monitor trends in risk behavior prevalence over time. And the last message I want to leave you with is that strong surveillance systems are critical. This is noted in all of those political declarations that I mentioned to you, the need for strong surveillance data, and the GSHS can play a role in collecting that surveillance data among the adolescent population. So that's all for now. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to take a few now or at the end.
We've got about 2 minutes or so, so if people have questions now.
Yes.
I usually have one. Did you see wide disparities in developing nations in terms of gender, young men in school?
No, we actually didn't. There were only a few variables that differed by gender within regions, and those were typically related to violence. And mostly those differences were found in the Southeast Asia region. So all the differences were, you know, males at higher risk than females, but there were only 5 variables total, and they were all found in the Southeast Asia region. Yes.
Especially when it's before the age of 14, it's often more times related to abuse or rape.
Yeah.
Where they, and then they absolutely have no control over if the person abusing them is not wearing a condom. Like, did you in any way assess that?
We did not, but some of those, so countries can add questions, as I mentioned, the core expanded questions, so we do have questions available that sites can add. About knowledge and attitudes and like refusal skill, negotiation skills. I mean, obviously, there's only so much you can do, but there are some countries that included further additional questions that would provide some more detail on those types of issues, but not every country, and so we haven't gotten into looking at that more closely, but it's a very, very good point.
Yes.
These will be forthcoming in a paper, but you can go to the website to find out more, and I'd be happy to email you anything that you'd be interested in. So. Great. All right. Thank you.